Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Every month is a special month for me at the Christian Research Institute, and this month is no exception. I love the issue of origins. I love it because I came to faith in Christ initially by looking at the evidence for God. Is there a God, or must we believe in the Darwinian theory of evolution? Well, this month we have some resources that demonstrate beyond the peradventure of a doubt that evolution, Darwinian evolution, neo-Darwinian evolution, is no longer tenable. And I love the book by Tom Bethel. If you don't have it yet, I've been urging you all month to get it. It is available for those who support the ministry. It's titled Darwin's House of Cards. And Bethel documents the fact that there is remarkable little evidence for Darwinism. Universal common descent has been rightly disputed. It has been demonstrated to be mainly a deduction from Darwin's theory and not a physical observation. Indefinite departure from the original type has never been observed. That's why you see inferred transitional forms. Natural selection, of course, merely multiplies existing varieties. C.S. Lewis had a sense about this while he was alive. And as he guessed, it is more easily accounted for when you think about the disappearance of old forms than the appearance of new ones. What is clear beyond the shadow of a doubt is that Darwinism was propped up by the worldview of progress that dominated the West from the Enlightenment on, particularly in the middle to the late 19th century. And today, that same worldview, it's so ironic, it's being disparaged by the environmentalists, the most extreme of whom think that humans, well, they called them a plague on the planet. But one still widespread philosophy does lend support to Darwinism. Any guesses what that might be? Well, it's materialism. It's the belief that mind is reducible to matter and that the universe consists of molecules in motion and little else. All of this started a long time ago. And materialism is now a philosophy that is living and is being revived by those who, like Charles Darwin and Karl Marx in the 19th century, believed in, well, myths that were helpful to them, but hurtful to humanity. Well, of course, Marxism has already collapsed, except in Western universities. And whether Darwinism will survive the loss of faith in progress and the introduction of more careful scientific scrutiny, well, that's something that we ought to find out probably during our lifetimes. Bethel says, at this moment, I believe the science of Darwinism amounts to little more than the wedding of materialism and progress. And we have seen that if materialism is true, then Darwinism, or something very much like it, must also be true. But materialism is highly implausible and has been widely challenged. At the same time, it only takes one partner to break up a marriage, and as we now know, progress has, well, it's wandered off the straight and narrow. As a result, the breakup of Darwinism seems likely in the years ahead. And we as Christians have to be ready for that very thing. Not only be ready, we ought to be out of the bleachers and on the playing field helping Darwinism to collapse as Marxism collapsed. Only one life, soon 'twill be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. This is why we're equipping God's people. This is a resource. It's fun to read. I even have my daughter Christina reading the book at present and watching Revolution. Did you watch Revolutionary yet?
I did.
You did. What did you think of it?
I thought it was really good. It reminded me a lot of my high school lessons where we actually read his book.
Darwin's Black Box.
Mm-hmm. So the when you said flagellum, that's a tongue twister. When you said flagellum, it rang a bell. And when you started to talk about it, I was like, oh, yeah.
Isn't it cool the way he takes the flagellum? And it, like you say, it's a tongue twister. It's a hard word to pronounce, much less understand for the average person. But the way he takes that and he makes that completely discernible.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I love just the way that it's like this argument for design, for teleology, for the fact that, I was reading in House of Cards just how much of the fossil record is indicative of a direction of design. The similarities between things that are different, it's not because of, I don't remember the scientific terms, but whatever they attribute it to, I think it was natural selection or something like that. But it's because of it, everything has like little bits and pieces because God uses different parts in different ways. Just like you would use different parts of a car, you might use it for something else or, you know, it's multi-use. I guess the example he used was like, you know, keys on a keyboard. It's kind of similar to what you use on an iPhone. Like the idea is similar. So you're using similar devices.
So it's analogous, not homologous. That's in play.
Yes. So I think that's cool.
Yeah. And again, it is fun to watch. I like to watch these kinds of films with my kids. And these books are absolutely necessary because your kids are getting heavy doses of Darwinian evolution. I'm getting a heavy dose of chemo tomorrow. But they're getting heavy doses of the evolutionary hypothesis, low-grade hypothesis, and we need to inoculate our kids. Well, a lot of you hanging on. I haven't even asked for people to call yet. 888-ASK-HANK. A lot of you hanging on. The number, by the way, to call if you want to talk to our resource consultants to get Darwin's House of Cards or Revolutionary, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or talk to one of our resource consultants at 888, or you can go to the web at equip.org. And after all these years, I should have got that straight. Let's go to the phone lines. A lot of people hanging on. Grace first in Tucson, Arizona, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call, and we've been praying for your health. So,
thank you.
Just so you know, there's a whole bunch of us praying for you.
Oh, bless you.
My question is, I've heard you speak quite a lot about the movie The Shack.
Yeah.
And so, coming from an apologetic point of view, I'm always trying to find what commonality, what truth, no matter where somebody's coming from, what can I get on common ground with them on, rather than debating why that movie's so heinous?
Yeah.
So I've called before in this, and I would really like, you know, a good way of approaching people. A lot of times lately, I just get really silent, and I kind of hear the scripture in my head that meat that sacrifice to idols, if it doesn't bother you, do we let that go? And, you know, I kind of get a little bit, like, apologetically, how do I peacefully and with love, most of all to my Christian brothers and sisters, say anything or not say anything? Like, where is my charity? Where is my tone? You know, I don't want to blow them out of the water, like, on how bad that movie is, because I know some people so love this movie.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that is the attitude that you are displaying. You want to reach as opposed to repel, which is precisely what we ought to be doing. So you're looking for some common ground, at least to start the discussion on. And I think one of the valuable elements of the movie is its response to the problem of evil and suffering. It has a hopeful message that there is no unredeemable suffering. In other words, that suffering has a purpose in the plan of God. I mean, just before I came into the studio, when I was praying, I was asking the Lord to heal me. I always picture myself touching the hem of Christ's garment and feeling the healing virtue flow into my body. But I also pray, Lord, if that's not your will, may you be glorified in whatever I go through, or be glorified in my suffering, because nothing happens, not a hair falls from our head that God does not care or have some purpose for. So God can heal me, or he can be glorified in my suffering, and he knows what's best. So again, this is something where you have a point of contact or a point of commonality. But that should not dissuade you from, if there is an opportunity, if you're discussing the movie, pointing out that one of the greatest errors, perhaps the greatest error, no doubt the greatest error that anyone can ever make, is a misconception of the nature of God. And this is one of the things that you find not only in the book, but also in the movie, but I would say primarily in the book. And so you have a William P. Young chiding people about what he believes to be their misconceptions of the Trinity, and then he proceeds to compromise, confuse, and outright contradict biblical doctrines that have been hammered out historically with respect to the Trinity. So I think that there are places that require discussion, but I think it's also very, very good that you're looking for places to start, places of commonality. Here's what I've got for you. I've got two things. One is an article that I did, How Should a Christian Think About the Shack? And number two is an article which was very, very good. It was a review of the movie. And that review was done by my son-in-law, actually, Dr. Adam Pelser, who is a philosophy professor at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. And he watched the movie with my daughter, and I think maybe my grandson Luke, too. I'm not absolutely positive. But they found some redeeming qualities in the movie, and he mentions that in this piece. Of course, he also mentions the difficulties that I've brought up. But I think, to your point, he's looking for commonalities so that the discussion might be one that reaches as opposed to repels. So those two articles available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, you can find them online at equip.org. Thank you, Grace, for your call. We are coming to station break. I want to say something about CRI support team before we sign off the first segment today. A lot of people calling in, so we'll be taking a lot of calls today. Do remember that this is the most important team as far as the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute is concerned around the world. We are making a difference, and we're asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth by joining CRI support team. These are the Green Berets. These are the special forces, as it were, by analogy, of the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So if you've been giving to the ministry, think about joining CRI's monthly support team. Be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. It's one of the great joys I have every single day. I come in early in the morning, I personalize books, and I love doing it. I whisper a prayer for the person that I'm personalizing the book to as I do it. And so again, you can join CRI's support team and make a difference in the lives of people all around the globe. Check it out on the web at equip.org or call 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
Are you ready to join the revolution? The DVD Revolutionary documents the journey of biochemist Michael Behe as he challenges the scientific establishment on new discoveries illuminating the limitations of Darwinism. Learn what led Dr. Behe to his famous discoveries, how those opposed to his ideas tried to kill them in court, how Behe's ideas have been vindicated by science during the past decade, and how his ideas have led to a growing movement for a new approach to biology. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife Aisha committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was ultimately responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Other topics include challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, are all religions man-made, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall." To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app
and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.
As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Journalist Tom Bethel uses his decades-long journey through the flimsy evidence of Darwinism to make a compelling case to topple Darwin's House of Cards, arguably the greatest myth in the history of science. To receive your copy of Bethel's book, Darwin's House of Cards, as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Peter in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. I have a simple question that probably requires a very complex answer. At least I haven't been able to really find anybody that's given an answer that suffices or is satisfying in any regard. And that is how can one be certain of salvation when there are so many exceptions or so-called exclusions to that answer?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you mean, exclusions to that answer.
Well, again, except somebody does this or doesn't do that, when we talk about people who backslide, or whether we talk about people who we all sin on a daily basis if we're honest with one another, or honest with ourselves, rather. So what I'm asking is, no drunkards or adulterers or all the other things will enter, or will see heaven or see the kingdom of heaven. And yet, when you see somebody that has accepted Christ and they say once saved, always saved, others say no, it's not like that at all, it becomes very contradictory. So what is the...
it's not contradictory at all. I mean, you got to look at all the factors. And there are various things that have to be examined. Number one, you have to consider the fact that there are people like Judas that looked like they were followers of Christ, but in reality were not followers of Christ at all. They were followers of what Christ had for them in terms of provisions. In other words, they're not interested in Christ. They're interested in what was on Christ's table, what Christ could offer them. So we would have looked at Judas and said he was a believer. In reality, a God who knew the heart was able to identify Judas as anything but. So we look at people in one way. God sees the heart. That's one of the factors that has to be taken into consideration. There are also those who have a said faith rather than a real faith. In other words, their faith is just transactional. I'm going to buy an insurance policy. I'm going to get a card that keeps me out of hell and gets me into heaven. And then I'm going to live as a baptized secular humanist. That's not someone who is a genuine follower of Christ. It's not a real faith. It is a faith that may look real. It may even be a faith that holds to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, an acceptance of Jesus Christ, or an agreement that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. However, there's no dependence and trust in Jesus Christ. In other words, a willingness to turn from sin and follow Him and be a participant in the kingdom within the context of the ground and pillar of truth, which Paul identifies in 1 Timothy 3:15 as the church. So all of us as Christians know that this journey is not a journey that we take in any kind of singularity, but it's always within a context. We take up the cross of Christ and follow Him in community, partaking in communion, by which we receive the grace that enables us to continue on in our journey to union with God. I love the quote, and I've used this over and over again. I think it's one of the most brilliant quotes I've ever heard. It identifies the issue. After the fall, human history is a long shipwreck awaiting rescue. But the port of salvation is not the goal. It is the possibility for the shipwrecked to resume their journey, a journey whose sole goal is union with God. In other words, it's not about a transaction, it's about a transformational relationship. And if you are genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ, then you have some assurances. Like in Philippians, God praises God for the confidence that he who began a good work in you is going to carry that work on to its completion. Or you find out through Paul in Ephesians that you're marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So genuine believers are those who are ordering their life around the divine, and when that happens, their love for Christ continues to grow. But those who are just transactional, they may have a liver quiver once again, but their relationship is not a genuine relationship of commitment and following and partaking of the graces by which we continue on to the journey, which has been graciously provided for us, as Vladimir Lasky put it, to union with God, to fellowship in the Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hopefully that helps.
Well, it's a matter of how do you tell an addict that. You know, even having recognized that addiction is an illness, that although he's accepted Christ, that lifestyle is not acceptable. And where is there any kind of assurance to be offered for that individual to know that they are saved in spite of their weakness or their illness?
Yeah.
If it was cancer, we wouldn't look at it in that light, and yet society tends to. But
no, that's a perfectly legitimate point. I mean, that's a good point. I think you're absolutely right in making that point. Look, the operative word in all of this is a willingness to turn from sin with God's help.
Yeah.
So in the illustration that you're giving, if someone is an addict, those are strong cords that bind you.
Yep.
And the fact that you have that addiction does not mean that you are excluded from the kingdom. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The real issue is it's a predisposition of the heart. It's a wanting to turn from that sin. It is a desire to follow Christ and to use the means that are available to you, as opposed to continue in a state of willful disobedience. I mean, there's a big distinction between willful disobedience and an addiction you might have that you're trying to deal with because you want to follow Christ.
Right. So you're basically, in essence, you're saying it's that desire that differentiates the believer from the so-called believer.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's that's why I say the operative word is willing. Use another illustration. Let's say you and I are at odds. I'm a believer. I'm not allowed to be at odds with you. So I have to be willing to forgive you whatever our odds were. But
right.
If you are not wanting to be forgiven, I can't do anything about that because it's a two-way street that requires reconciliation.
Right. No, I get that. I totally do, yeah. Okay, thanks so much for your comments.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your question. Appreciate talking to you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye. Back to the phone lines. Robert in Cooksville, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Robert.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
It's Brooksville. Okay, Brooksville, Florida. How you doing, Hank? I listen to you every day, but a question for you. Mm. I was speaking with some people, and they were saying that Pentecostal, I asked what's the difference between Pentecostal and Baptist. We all believe in Christ. And they saying that you have to have, in order to be saved, you got to be able to have the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of speaking in tongues. Is that true or not? Are you just saved when you accept Christ as your Savior and believe that He died on the cross for your soul, and you automatically have the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, when
you're living your life and you're following Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Apostle Paul makes this plain. Believers are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. He says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And yet not all who believe speak in tongues. Paul says that in the selfsame chapter. So the context is immediate. And therefore, tongues may be a manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but tongues cannot be the manifestation. And even if individuals do speak in tongues, it is not a guarantee that they've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a chapter later, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, what am I but a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal, a bunch of noise? Without love, Paul goes on to say, I'm nothing. So what the Scriptures make clear is that the normative sign, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is not speaking in tongues, but the confession of Christ as Lord, repentance from sin, and obedience to God. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And as such, the fruit of the Spirit is not merely speaking in tongues, but love and joy. It's peace and patience, it's kindness and it's goodness, it's faithfulness and it's gentleness and it's self-control. So I would say righteousness, not tongues, is the core of Christianity, confessed in a single word. And that righteousness is a righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And thereby we are enveloped by His Spirit.
Okay. So therefore, you still have the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. I mean, if you are His and He is yours, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is a precious truth of Scripture. You're either inhabited by the divine Spirit of God, or you are of your father, the devil. Those are really the choices that we have. We either are imbued with Christ, we are possessed, as it were, by the Spirit, or we are possessed by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Got to leave it at that. Coming up to the station break, at the beginning of the next segment, something that happened to me. Middle of the night last night, I was up reading through the Psalms. Be back with the quote of the day.
Veteran journalist Tom Bethel believes the great problem with science as it is understood today is that authority more and more replaces evidence. In his new book, Darwin's House of Cards, Bethel explains how Darwinism was once a well-fortified castle with elaborate towers, moats, and battlements. Yet today, it more closely resembles a house of cards, built out of flimsy icons rather than hard evidence, and liable to blow away in the slightest breeze. Don't overlook this evidence-driven opportunity to topple the authoritarian regime that Darwinism is in the world today. To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife Aisha committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was ultimately responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Other topics include challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, are all religions man-made, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads. This film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive your copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from the Bible. Last night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't sleep, and I got up, and I got out of my Bible, and I started reading through the Psalms. I was troubled by a particular email that I had received I won't go into the details, but, you know, sometimes there are statements that are made that are simply false, and it was kind of bugging me, and I was reading through Psalms, like Psalm 40, Psalm 40, be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And may those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Well, I mean, I was just flipping through, reading from Psalm 40 all the way up to Psalm 118. And I got to this passage, and this is the quote of the day. And hopefully it's beneficial to you, but it really had an impact on me last night, particularly since, as many of you know, I have mantle cell lymphoma. I've gone through my third cancer treatment, chemotherapy treatment, it's quite remarkable. I've never felt so good after my third chemo. I was supposed to start feeling bad and have ill effects, but I was here at 5:30 in the morning, and I'm still here now. And I'm going out on a date with my wife and one of my kids tonight. And so I thank the Lord for all of that. But anyway, this psalm meant a lot to me. Psalm 118, 17, and 18. Obviously, I've looked at the contextualization of this psalm, particularly as it relates to some of these words coming from Habakkuk, who was ministering during the death throes of the nation of Judah. But the psalm that popped out at me, which I repeated over and over again as I finally fell asleep last night, is the quote of the day, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. I just repeated that over and over and over again until I fell asleep last night. The quote of the day comes from the infallible Word of God. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Ron, listening in West Hills, California, KKLA. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Hank. The Lord bless you and touch you.
Thank you.
I listen on KKLA, but it's usually 11 o'clock at night out here. We're getting a repeat, so I'm listening through KCIS on the internet right now. That radio station should get the credit.
Cool.
But I do listen to you at night on KKLA. My question, I'm a Protestant, but I have a question. A lot of times you mention about with the Eastern Orthodox that as you take the sacraments and participate in the sacraments and so forth, that you receive receive graces, you know, by the sacraments being administered. And so my question is when you say graces, you are actually talking about the same grace, but you're just pluralizing it. It's the same grace in all through all the sacraments. And also, how does that compare with the Catholic version of they receive grace through sacraments too, but they can lose it if they sin? You know, it kind of builds up, and then if they sin, they have to start at point zero. So is the Eastern Orthodox similar in that way?
Well, there are real big differences between the Western Church and the Eastern Church. The Western Church includes the Protestants and the Roman Catholics, the two dividing from one another in 1517, principally when Martin Luther nailed 95 Theses on the castle door in Wittenberg. So the Western Church looks at this very much differently than the Eastern Church, and I think therefore definitions when you talk about grace are always necessary. In the Roman Catholic Church, you're saved by God's grace through faith, but that faith is infused with works, and the works are meritorious. In other words, there's an explanation that the Eastern Orthodox would be very, very uncomfortable with, the reason being that in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, faith and works were never dichotomized. They never were set one in opposition to the other. So the Eastern Church kind of scratches their head at the snarling logicality that you find in some of the some of the paradigms that are invoked in the Western Church. So I think those definitions are helpful, but in terms of graces, there are many graces that we receive. The principal grace is always the pure body, precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a principal grace whereby we experience what Peter talks about when he speaks about partaking of the divine nature. Not that we become God as God is in the Godhead, but we become by grace what God is by nature. And we're brought into the fellowship of the Trinity. But in many ways, the church, therefore, serves as a spiritual gymnasium in which we partake in ascetic practices, practices by which we become those who partake of grace. And it's all part of this journey that I talked about earlier on the broadcast to union with God. So the port of salvation is not the goal. Thank God for the port of salvation. But the shipwrecked want to continue on a journey. And that journey is union with God, fellowship in the Trinity. And that's why I oftentimes point out that the Christian faith is not transactional or shouldn't be. It's transformational. Hopefully that helps. A lot of people hanging on. Let me move on to Tim in Louisiana, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I have a question. I was studying Exodus. I'm still studying Exodus. And I have a question about the 10 plagues. And one of the plagues, it seems that was the God destroyed the livestock. And at the end of the plagues, and the Israelites escaped, Egypt had horses for the chariots. Where did the animals come from if God destroyed them?
Sure. And I think this is a classic case in point where you want to read the text in the sense in which it's intended. First of all, Moses is offering an eyewitness account of these events, and that's very important. This is a historical narrative. This is something that actually happened, and he's an eyewitness to the events, and he's giving an account, and we have that account in the Pentateuch, in this particular case, in the book of Exodus. Now, the first thing we ought to do is offer Moses a great deal of charity, meaning not gratuitous charity, but charity that is well-deserved. Because if you read through the Pentateuch, you see that Moses is a master communicator. And therefore, you wouldn't imagine that he would contradict himself within the same scenario, within the same small narrative, as important as it is. Within a few pages of writing, suddenly he is he's upside down, mixing up his story such that the story makes no sense. To think that would be very uncharitable reading through the Pentateuch. He's not likely to contradict himself within the span of this account. So, again, give him the benefit of the doubt. But if you look at Exodus 9, and you look at it in context, Exodus 9 speaks of the animals in the field that are going to be killed. So there's certainly leeway here to believe that those in the shelter would have been protected, just like we know for certain, because the text actually tells us that, I think it's verse 19, that the livestock of the Israelites were protected in the shelter. So that would be an explanation of where the animals came from. But the other thing I think we need to be very careful of here is that we don't become literalistic. We want to read the text literally, but not literalistically. Meaning, for example, if you look in Colossians 1:23, Paul says, that the gospel has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Or variously, he says, all over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit. Now, he's speaking within the context, a limited context, of the Roman Empire. And all has to be contextualized in that sense. You know, it's sort of like I'm going to a play tonight with my wife, one of my kids, Max McLean. I always say his voice is liquid brawn, and he's playing C.S. Lewis. And I'll come back and I'll say, oh, the whole world was there. Well, meaning I ran into all kinds of people that I never expected to run into, and so many people I never expected to be there were there, and the place was packed out. I mean, it's a way of talking. Or Paul is stirring up riots all over the world. Well, was he really stirring up riots all over the world? No, he wasn't, obviously. So you have to contextualize that. Or in Acts 2, Jews from every nation under heaven are in Jerusalem. Well, again, that has to be contextualized. And if you read it literalistically, you end up with nonsense. But if you read it in the sense that which is intended, then you do not. So that's the explanation. We go on and on about this. But this is all part of the art and science of biblical interpretation. It's a science and that rules apply. It's an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. Many people hanging on. My apologies. Couldn't get to you. Tried to answer the questions as quickly as I could today. Hopefully you call back on Monday or Tuesday or sometime next week. Just delighted to take your calls live next week right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the number is always to dial 888-ASK-HANK. And thanks so much for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I could not do, we could not do what we do at the Christian Research Institute without you. We don't want to go this road alone. We're asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Truth matters. Life matters more. By standing with us, you are touching the lives of people all across the globe. Give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, and join me again Monday for more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of the DVD, Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day. Or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. In his book, Darwin's House of Cards, Tom Bethel writes, "The science of Darwinism was poor all along and supported by very few facts. Although Darwinism has been promoted as science," says Bethel, "its unstated role has been to prop up a philosophy of materialism and atheism along with it. As Christians, we are called by Christ to be wise and build our house on the rock. Darwinian devotees, however, have built their ivory tower on sinking sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall.
To receive your copy of Darwin's House of Cards as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.